thought just before Paul comes to speak to us, we should have a couple of probing and interesting questions, I think. Could you tell me what you most enjoy more about your job?
My job for Compassion, which Esther and I are volunteers. The thing we most enjoy is meeting lots of new people. Apart from celebrating what you guys are doing, and that's what this morning is all about, is a celebration. I think it's just meeting lots of new people and just realizing how big and how vast the family of God is.
Thank you. This is a really bad question, isn't it? But could you try and briefly tell us about your, perhaps a bit more about your role of Compassion, but Compassion generally, what that will do as well?
The church that I was previously involved in, I was associate pastor there. There's a guy there, Phil Briggs, who actually is employed by Compassion. And he approached Esther and I a couple of years ago, just saying, would you like to serve Compassion on a voluntary basis and do some celebration services for us? And we said, yeah, we'd be quite up for that. And so he started to send us around to a number of different churches with some church stats on how much they're given, the impact that their giving had made upon certain areas throughout the developing world. And since then, we've just got busier and busier with Compassion. And for us, we just count it a privilege. It doesn't matter the miles. It doesn't matter what kind of church we're in. We go to all different kinds of churches. We just enjoy being able to help children around the developing world that don't stand a chance without people like yourselves and myself, who are willing to put their hands in their pockets and say, I'll make a difference in a child's life.
Thank you. I'm now going to hand over to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Can I just say, it is an absolute pleasure to be here amongst you all. I feel a real warm welcome. I had lots of different chats with you this morning. So on behalf of Esther and myself, I want to thank you for your warm welcome. So yes, we're here on behalf of Compassion. Just a bit about ourselves, just aware of time. But Esther is a hydrologist, which she does something with some flood defences. I believe actually she's going like that, because this could be bad news. She has done quite a lot of work in Carlisle. Now you might not think so. And if you have any issues, she'll be stood at the back on the stand if your house has been flooded in the last 10 years. So she's a senior principal hydrologist, loves her job. I during my working week, I'm a construction site manager, currently just working on a big nursing home that we're refurbing phase by phase. We have 12 children. Four children, six granddaughters, and two Compassion children. And it's a delight to have them all in our lives. The first time I came across Compassion, I was in a men's seminar, and there was a Compassion event there. And at the end of the Compassion event, they said, would anybody like to sponsor? And I was just, my heart was so gripped by the work of Compassion. And there I took on my Compassion child. Her name is Pauline. She's left school now, actually. She's all grown up. And Esther has got a girl called Esther. So that's our family life. So we are busy during our week, as well as working Compassion, trying to juggle around family stuff. We're blessed to be here with you this morning. So I just want, before I go any further, for us to have our first presentation, and it's called One Day. Just watch this.
Mm-hmm. sponsor had a great impact on me, on my development, because every time I go to school, every time I do something, I always think of them and I always make them proud. Yes, I always want to make my parents proud too, but there's another set of parents that I consider that I don't want to disappoint them.
I see my sponsors, Betty and Boyd, as my family, because that's how they treated me. They treated me as one of their sons.
The first person that helped me believe that I could be a leader was my sponsor, who wrote me that letter and told me that they believed in me. And I thought to myself, if they believed in me and I was going to become somebody, it's true, I can actually become that somebody.
And they always encouraged me just to be a good student, a good daughter, and just to keep learning as much as I could, because even though in my thoughts that maybe I would not be able to do much because I didn't have the resources, but they always put those words in my heart that I will have just a trust in God, that He will open doors for me.
I am what I am today because of a stranger willing to invest in my life and show me the love of Christ and pray for me and encourage me each step of the way.
So what Compassion do is that they partner with local churches right throughout the developing world, Ghana, Uganda, Indonesia, all across the world. And they partner with the local church, and they go into the local church and basically say, if there's any need, if there's any children that are living in poverty, we want to invest in them. And what I find amazing about Compassion, it's something I found out only a few weeks ago, actually. We were on a little bit of a Compassion training day. These are the profiles that we have. We've got a little guy here called Kenzie. And what Compassion do is that they will go in and partner with the churches, and the churches will say that there's a family down the road that, you know, their mum has died, or they've been left orphaned for some reason, and we want to get them involved in the Compassion program. And one of the things that I learned last week is that when I look at these profiles, and you'll see the profiles out on the back there, I think, well, they're quite smartly dressed. And, you know, I think they don't seem to be in much poverty from the photograph. But what we learned a few weeks ago was that Compassion, they already start investing in these children before they get a sponsor. They believe in what they do so much that before the finance, before somebody says, yes, I'll sponsor, Compassion themselves as an organization say, yes, we'll invest in you. And it's almost like a step of faith for Compassion to say, we will take on this child and we will find a sponsor sooner or later for this child. And for me, that again tugged on my heart for Compassion, because Compassion really are about making the difference in this world, and particularly making the difference in children's lives. And so Compassion partner with the church, and then they find the sponsors and then send out guys like Esther and I to come to wonderful people like you and give you the opportunity to sponsor. But we're going to go into your church stats in a moment or two. But I don't want to hide anything this morning. I want to say to you that you will have an opportunity, if you don't already sponsor, to sponsor a child. And I'll say up front, it's £25 a month. Now, to some, it may seem an awful lot. We were in one particular church, and some of the youth wanted to sponsor a child, but they didn't get that much pocket money. And what they did as a group, as as a youth group, they raise the money together to sponsor a child. So they put all their pocket money together, paper round money, milk money, whatever they did, they put together each month. They did backpacking at the local supermarkets. They did anything to bring the money in to make sure their child is sponsored. And boy, it's £25 a month, and that will sponsor a child. And so you'll have an opportunity at the end of this morning to visit Esther and I on the bat there and maybe say, yes, I will sponsor a child. But I want to celebrate those that are already being sponsored this morning. So we've got some stats for you. So if we could just put on our next presentation. And so this is your celebration service, and we're here to clap and to applaud you, and on behalf of Compassion, to say thank you. Next slide, please. So you have 5 children sponsored from St. James Carlisle. Absolutely fantastic. Next slide, please. So you are in 5 different countries, and I can't see from here, and I can't quite remember what I saw. So you are in Guatemala, El Salvador, Brazil, Kenya, there we are, thank you very much, and Indonesia. So you are impacting a great big area. Some churches just take on one certain area. You're impacting a huge area. Fantastic. Next slide, please. So 17 letters have been sent to you guys. So you out there, whoever you are, don't really want you to put your hands up. It doesn't matter, but you know who you are. I want to thank you for sending those letters, because there's 17 letters that have come back, and 26 letters have been sent out by you. And I want to say thank you. One of the most important things for Compassion is sending letters. The money is one thing. £25 is one thing. But the most important thing that changes these children's lives are letters from their sponsors. Letters that say, we love you. Letters that say, we care for you. Letters that say, we believe in you, and that God has got a future, he's got a plan, and he's got a purpose for your future. And they start believing in themselves again, because the biggest story we have coming back from the churches on the Compassion Field is that these children come in and every bit of hope has been took out of them because of the poverty that they live in. And the fact that somebody believes in them, the fact that somebody from Carlisle has said, yes, I will invest in that child, has restored hope and gave some sort of hope and future and purpose back in their life. That for me is so, so valuable. And so I want to thank you for those letters. Something Esther and I have just started to do, we're a bit slow on technology, or I am, is that the app on your phone is absolutely fantastic. Before I started using my phone, I'd have to sit down and write a letter, post it off, and then eventually it would get to my child. Now, there's an app on your phone, and while you're in the car, on the bus, on the train, sat at home, you can just write a letter, and it gets sent immediately. It gets translated, printed out, and sent to your sponsor in a third of the time. It's a fantastic app, and it tells you everything else that's going on as well. So it's a great way of communicating. So if you do sponsor a child and you haven't got the app on your phone, if you don't quite know how to do it, do what I did. Phone up Compassion Headquarters, and the woman there, she'll just talk you through it. She's fantastic. And if I can do it, you can do it, I tell you. Okay, next slide. So you've got 4 girls and 1 boy. And you can see the pictures there below, and you probably can see your child right there. Next slide. Okay, so over the last 12 months, at least 6 medical checks have been carried out. 5 Bibles have been distributed, which is fantastic, because Compassion are not just about feeding the physical body, they're about looking after them body, soul, and spirit. So 5 Bibles have been given out. More than 1,114 hours have been spent by children on the projects. And a minimum of 278 nutritious meals have been provided. Absolutely fantastic. Next slide. So altogether, over the last 12 months, your total financial support has been £1,878. Absolutely brilliant. What an amount of money that you guys have sent. And I just want to applaud you guys for doing what you're doing, for sponsoring. And then over the year, there has been 8 additional gifts. There is an option, if you are a sponsor, to give an additional gift, either for birthday or for Christmas, or just for the family that you find out that are in need. Absolutely brilliant what you've done from here. Next slide. So I want to thank you for making a difference in these children's lives. And I just want to just look into the reading that we've had this morning. And I'm not going to read through it again, but it's a parable. Jesus gave a parable, and it's about the end of the age, or it's about the end of life. And we all look at investment, don't we? We all look at our pensions and the stuff that we've got in ISAs and everything else, and how much have I got to live on at the rest of my life. And Jesus is given a parable about the end of life and about when we leave this earth, when we leave this planet and we go to our heavenly home. He says that this is how it will be. This is how the reward system will work. And it says there that he put the goats on his left and the sheep on his right. And he turns round to the sheep and he says, "Well done." He says, "Because you lived well. You lived absolutely fantastic." I haven't got enough this morning because I didn't realize how many there would be, but that I've got a load of these tape measures. They're from IKEA, by the way. So this little illustration is sponsored by IKEA. But I've got a load of tape measures. You can grab one at the end of the service. When I first saw this, what we were told to do was to rip off the age that we are. So I am now, am I 53 now? Yeah, just 53. Sorry, I forget how old I am sometimes. So I am now 53. So I don't need that anymore. And then we were asked, how long do you expect to live? Or how long do you want to live? Now, my probably ideal age is probably around about 85. I'd like to be still functioning well at 85. I can see the gent laughing there. So when I take off what I've already lived, and when I take off the age that I think that life is over for me, that is what's left of my life. I don't know whether you've heard the illustration before, but when you look at a gravestone, you will see the date of birth and you'll see the date of death. And right in between is a dash. This is my dash. This is my dash. And if you want to grab one after, I think I lost my wallet at one point, but I kept it in my wallet for years. Just to remind me of how do I live my dash? And the question that Jesus is asking the disciples here is, how did you live your dash? Was it just selfish? Were you just living for yourself? Were you investing in other people? Or were you living well? And when he said to the sheep, "You have done well, you've lived your dash well." He says, "Because when you saw me hungry, you fed me. When you saw me thirsty, you gave me a drink. When you saw me ill, you came and made me well. When you saw me in prison, you visited me." Now, these guys were scratching their heads and thinking, if sheep can scratch their heads, the sheep were scratching their heads in the illustration that Jesus was given, saying, "Well, you know, when did we see you, Jesus, naked and you needed clothing? When did we see you in prison? When did we see you thirsty or hungry?" He said, "When you help that person down the road who was sad and needed an arm around their shoulder. When you saw that child on Compassion and you sponsored them. or when you helped at church with those in whatever you do here. I see there's quite a lot that goes on here in the community, in the church. However you invest in other people, when you invest in other people and you're kind to other people, you're open-hearted to other people, you're open-hearted to God. Because he says at the end of the parable, what you did to the least of one of these people, you were doing it to me. And people sometimes say to me, how do I serve God? Well, just serve your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Go out, take somebody for a coffee. Go and talk around. Go and talk to somebody who maybe have recently been bereaved. Go and be a comfort to them. Go and be a help to them. Go to a family you know is struggling and take them a food parcel. And what Jesus is saying, that when you do that, you're physically doing that to me. And he's saying, well done. And he said to all the sheep at the end of the close of the day, he says, come on in. Come and get your reward. You've lived well. You've lived your dash well coming in. And then he goes to his left-hand side and he says, come on, you goats. He says, you know, when I was hungry, you never clothed me. You know, when I was thirsty and when I was naked, you never clothed me. When I was in prison, you never visited me. And they said the same question. He said, well, you ignored everybody in your life. You let people pass you by, a bit like the Good Samaritan, where it was all the religious people and the people that should help just walked by the Samaritan on the side of the road that was beaten and bruised and bleeding, and everybody walked by. And the Samaritan stopped and helped and reached out a hand. He said that he poured in oil and wine and helped. He says, and because you didn't help anybody, because you lived life selfishly, because you lived this dash for yourself, there's no reward. Now, if you read the end of the story, Jesus is quite brutal. And he says, you're going to a lost eternity. That's not how I want you to live. There's no reward for you. Well, I don't know about you, but this life on earth is very short. 70, 80, 90, 100 years if I'm lucky. But eternal life is forevermore. And I want to live with that reward. I want to live in my eternal home, just knowing that I've done what I possibly could while I was here. And my question to you today is, how are you living your dash? How are you serving God? And it's by investing in others. You know, we look at Jesus when he was on the earth. He constantly invested in people. When he was tired, when he was hungry, when he was disappointed, when he was despised, when he was rejected, when he was lonely, he kept on serving. You know, we read the story when he met the Samaritan woman at the well. And the disciples were hungry and they said, Master, you know, we've been walking, it's midday, it's lunchtime, we need some food, we need something to keep us going. And Jesus knew that he had an appointment with a woman that was in need. And they said, well, you know, we're off to McDonald's, we're off to go and get something to eat because we're starving. And Jesus turned around and said an amazing statement. He said, go on then, you guys. He said, my food, my meat is to do the will of my Father. In other words, he was saying, what really feeds me, what really is important in my life is meeting the needs of other people. So they all piles off to the McDonald's and Jesus is left at a well with a woman who had five or six different husbands, and even the one that she was with wasn't a real husband, and her life was in a mess. And in a simple conversation, a few minutes, that woman's life was changed. And it says that she went away and she went back into her town and said, come and hear a man, come and see a man that has forgiven me of all my sin and has made me feel clean, has made me feel new. I'm a different person. Many people say that she was the first woman evangelist. Because Jesus was willing to invest even when he was hungry. We even look when he was in the garden just before he suffered his his death. He'd been rejected by everybody. He'd been betrayed by Judas. He'd been denied by Peter. And everyone was deserting him. He'd had the crowds jeering at him, crucify him, crucify him. And yet Jesus, even at that moment, was willing to put his own needs to one side and go to the cross for you and I. And he, for me, was my great example and is my great example of being a servant and investing in others. And I want to say this morning, thank you, Jesus, because I'm here and you're here this morning because Jesus thought you were worth investing in. He thought you were worth dying for. He thought you were a treasure worth getting hold of. And we're here because Jesus invested in you. And our job now, as Christians, as believers, is to invest in others. And I see all the work that you're doing back in the on the notice boards at the back of the church. Absolutely fantastic. And as we serve our community, as we serve the hurting and the lonely and the disappointed and the rejected, we're serving him. And the small part of that this morning is why we're here, is helping children. Is having the opportunity to live my dash, and in my dash that I have looked after and sponsored a child and made the difference in a child's life. You may say this morning, God, that's a big call. That's a big call. £25 a month coming out of my account is a big call. One little last story to finish with before we have our last presentation. You know, we don't hear much about Joseph, Mary's husband. But imagine the situation that he was put in, where an angel visits him, where he found out that Mary was expecting a child, and the child wasn't his. They hadn't slept together. They weren't a married couple. And Mary had to come and say, hey, I'm pregnant. I mean, imagine now how Joseph would feel about that. And Joseph was visited by an angel. And the angel said, listen, Joseph, don't worry. The child that's within Mary's womb has come from the Holy Spirit, has come from me. But your job is to take on the role as a father. I know it's not yours, but he is to be the savior of the world. He is to make a change in this world. And I want you to take that responsibility. Imagine being Joseph. You know, his first reaction was to put Mary away. That was a custom of the day because the outward sign was that she cheated and that she should have been stoned for what she'd done. And yet he embraced her and said, okay, I'll take on the responsibility. I know the child's not mine, but I know that I've got a responsibility. And there's five of you this morning that have got a responsibility that really wasn't yours. It's not your biological child, but you felt a compassion. You felt an urge to be a father and to be a mother to a child. And I want to ask you this morning, you can have an opportunity today to invest in a child's life and to take on a responsibility that you think, that's not really mine, but my heart's been stirred. We're just going to play our last presentation, and it's by a lady called Hilda, who was sponsored, and you'll see the change in her life.
My name is Hilda. I am the eighth child in a family of 10 children. We didn't have much money growing up, and we lived in one room. When I was 5 years old, my dad had an accident, which left him unable to work. We had no money for food, and I was very scared. I felt like no one cared about me, and I didn't matter. Then everything changed. When I was 9, one of our neighbors told me about Compassion at my local church. I was sponsored through Compassion, and I started to go to the project every week. I was fed there, and I learned how to take care of myself. I learned I was special, and that God loved me. My sponsor wrote me letters. They loved me so much, even though we never met in person. I am so thankful for my sponsor and everything they did for me. I will remember them until the last day of my life. Without their help, my life would be so different. All I can say is thank you so much for your love, which showed me God's love. Together, the church, Compassion, and my sponsors made me feel valued and gave me a new future.
My name is Hilda. This is my story.
What an amazing story. And there's many, many, many stories like that. And the reason why I like those kind of stories is that Hilda has not then just disappeared off the project of Compassion. She is now investing and making the change into other children's lives. And I don't know who sponsored Hilda, but I'm sure they must be really, really proud, because now the investment is just the ripples on the water of what she has done is fantastic. I want to ask you this morning, I want to be brave. Is there anybody here this morning? We have the stand at the back. You can come and ask us any questions after the service. But is there anyone this morning that feels stirred to sponsor a child? Would anyone like Kenzie? Is there anybody that would like to sponsor this morning? We're at the back. You may have a lot of questions. Thank you. You may have a lot of questions. Please come and talk to us. We haven't got every answer, I don't think. We'll try and give you every answer we can. And if not, we'll go away and find an answer for you. Lots of people have questions about the money and the finance and everything else. We'll try and answer every possible question. But we're here this morning because we believe in the change that Compassion brings. Thank you this morning for listening to us. Thank you for inviting us into your church and allowing us to just raise awareness. And most of all, I want to celebrate and thank you for the 5 children that you're already sponsoring. Thank you.